This week we've got an interview with Christoph Engelhardt, who many of you will be aware of as the chief note taker for MicroConf. Welcome, Christoph.
Hi, Martin. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Doing fine. Excellent. Thanks for having me.
No problem, no problem. So, straight off, can you just introduce yourself a bit and tell us a bit about you?
Well, okay, I'm Christoph. I'm the founder of LynxSpy.com, which is a search engine optimization tool that helps agencies build better links for their clients' websites. And I'm also currently writing the book, the SaaS Email Marketing Handbook. So those are kind of my two adventures I'm currently doing.
Cool.
I'm a regular at MicroConf. I do take some notes, which you can view at microconfeuroperecap.com.
Yeah, that's good. I've relied on those many a time, to be honest with you, because quite often my notes aren't so good from the MicroConf, so I quite often come back to your notes to just check.
Awesome.
Do you go to both the US and the European events?
I don't. I still have a day job, and so it always affords me to take a week off, and I go to MicroConf Europe usually without my wife, so I have 1 week less vacations than my wife, which,
right,
no, it doesn't go too well with the wife.
Right? No, I can imagine.
She accepts it.
Yeah. So I try to get around that a little bit by, I usually go for a few days beforehand with the family.
Mm-hmm.
So with it being Barcelona the last 2 years, we've had a nice 3 or 4 day holiday beforehand with the family, which always softens the blow.
Yeah, I did this the first year, but the second year she just told me flat out that she now knows Barcelona and doesn't want to go again. So I'm really keeping my fingers crossed that it will be in another city next year.
Yes, so am I. It's funny you say that, because my wife keeps asking me when we'll find out what city it's going to be in. She's looking forward to the holiday next year. So basically, you've got a day job, and I think your day job in itself is quite interesting. How do you work around sort of developing these products whilst working? And are you allowed to tell us a bit about your day job as well?
Yeah, I'm an officer in the German army, so yeah,
that's
not too interesting, right?
Well, it's quite interesting to me.
So yeah, I'm in the military. I'm in the army. I work somewhat regular hours. Sometimes yes, sometimes not. And then I just try to put in a few hours in the evening, which is really, really hard.
Yeah.
Because I feel drained after a day at work. I feel like I don't have much energy or attention left.
Sure.
Because, I mean, you make a lot of things during the day, a lot of decisions. So, yeah, I'm tired.
Yeah,
after
I
work.
Imagine. I can imagine.
So, I mostly get things done on the weekend, to be honest. I'm an early riser, which you might have guessed from me being in the army. And my wife is, she manages to sleep in. Let's put it that way. And that gives me a few hours every Sunday, usually, where I can just do stuff.
That's good. Yeah, that's really good. I wish I was an early riser, but I've tried it in the past, but I always struggle.
You know, Peldy once told me that it's really great to work when your significant other is sleeping, because then they don't know that you ignore them.
Yes, that is a very good point, yeah. It's not much good when you're sat in the evening and completely ignoring your significant other because you're working away on something. Yeah, that doesn't work very well. So what were the triggers then? So you got the full-time job as an officer in the army. What were the triggers that made you want to become an entrepreneur?
Oh, I started way earlier, actually. Even before I joined the army, I had a always a bit of a side business.
Okay.
So I did a bit of freelancing even before I joined the army. And then I went to a university while being in the army, because that's part of the education for officers here.
Right.
That you have to get a degree.
Okay.
And I mean, I had a bit of time at university, right?
Yeah.
I was a student after all. So,
in between drinking, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. all the crazy parties and you can't imagine. So I used a few of those spare hours to kind of start things. I got a a offer to do a bit of hardware and software development for my wife's company, because they needed a measurement system for plaster boards? Is that what you call them?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, plaster boards. So They were manufacturing plaster boards.
Right.
And they needed a new version of their already existing custom-made measurement system. So I built a new one, complete with everything, like all the hardware, the BCP boards, Everything.
That sounds like a great project.
And that's where it started. In hindsight, that was probably one of the worst business decisions ever, because after taxes and everything, I probably made $1.29 an hour.
Wow.
So it was really a lot of work.
Yeah, I can imagine. So back then in those early days, who were your role models and what sort of stuff did you look at for inspiration and for information?
I had none.
Right.
Honestly, I never thought about learning how to go about running a business or anything. It was always more like, I want to make a few dollars here or a few euros here.
Mm. And
just, it was mostly freelancing. So you could make a decent amount of money, at least for someone in their 20s, just from freelancing a few hours each month.
Yeah.
And then taking on that project was just, it piqued my interest. It was a fun challenge.
Yeah.
So that's how I got started there. And then I don't know how, but I think I got into listening to podcasts and started listening to the Startups for the Rest of Us podcast.
Yeah.
So I totally blame Rob and Mike.
Yeah, they've got a lot to answer to, haven't they?
Yeah. And yeah, that's where I got started. And then I started programming web applications. And then eventually I worked for a company called Moz, M-O-Z, and they do SEO tools. They are one of the more famous SEO tools.
Yeah, sure.
So I worked for them. I was writing my master's thesis there. And while I was there, I got the idea for what eventually became LinkSpy.
Right, okay.
That's how I got here.
Oh, great. So do you want to tell us a bit about LinkSpy then, about what that does?
It basically looks at the link profiles of your competitors. So you put in like 10 of your competitors, and then it goes out, sees where your competitors get links from, and then it tries to do a link intersect. So we're basically looking for hub websites that link out to many of your competitors, things like list posts, the top 29 SEO tools, for instance. And when we find something like that, we give you this as a search result and allow you to reach out to the owner of the website and ask them to include you in their list.
Right, okay. Oh, that's good. And how's that going?
Yeah, it's reasonably well. I'm making profit, so that's always good.
Yeah.
On the other hand, churn is a major, major problem. Because most people sign up and then they use it, but they don't have an ongoing need to do these kinds of searches. Because once they do one search, they get between 200 and 1,000 search results from us, and
right.
It's just enough for them to keep them busy for a month.
Yeah, I can imagine. Yeah,
and so they cancel rather quickly.
Right. Okay. Oh, that's a shame.
So that's why I became a bit fed up with it, and now it's just running on the side, making enough money to allow me to travel to MicroConf each year and buy a bit of other stuff that I enjoy. And,
yeah. Well, that's pretty good in itself.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. And does it take up much of your time in terms of support and managing it?
No, I haven't done anything major with it ever since January.
Wow.
So I've been focusing on writing the book.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's making money.
Great. That's excellent.
Works for me.
Yeah, yeah. So, so the book then. So, SaaS email marketing.
Mm-hmm.
Was that born out of the work that you did with LinkSpy?
Partly, yeah, partly. I also helped a few folks do email marketing
Okay.
on just on the side, and just gave them a few ideas and implemented a bit of stuff. And I noticed that email marketing is a really, really good way to just for marketing in general, and especially in SaaS or for SaaS businesses. Because you can do email marketing along the whole life cycle of a customer, from
Right.
getting new leads into the funnel to converting them, nurturing leads, then converting them, making sure they have a successful trial experience, keeping them happy during the life cycle. There are tons of ways to leverage email marketing in your SaaS business.
Okay, that's good. So, in my situation, so I'm quite interested in this. My situation is I've got a product which, basically been developed as a side project. I had a developer which I hired, and he built a lot of the code. And I started out with having customers interested, and so I had two customers that came on board fairly early on. One of them had takes up quite a lot of time with support and so on, because I basically did the idea of building the product so it does what the customer needs, and all the administration stuff I'd do myself as kind of, so they email me what they need and then I do that. Because I was freelancing full time to pay for the developer I had as well as living costs. But now I'm in a situation where I really need to get more customers on board. And I think email marketing is something I need to do, but I'm struggling with where to get started really. So I don't have a list really. Not a list of people that have sort of subscribed to say they want to hear from me. I just wondered if you had any tips on sort of where to start with this.
So that basically screams cold email marketing to me.
Right.
One interesting way of doing this is that you could reach out to bloggers, not in an effort to get PR or anything like links or anything from them, but to purely get them on as your first customers, with the idea being that bloggers, people who actively write about a subject, are usually early adopters.
Right.
So you could go to a website like alltop.com,
Oh, right.
which is a, it's a blog directory.
Okay.
You could go to any of those sites. Just search for your niche there, see if you find something, and scrape all the websites from that blog directory, find a few email addresses or find email addresses for those. For those websites, there's a ton of different services that allow you to discover email addresses
Sure.
solely from a domain name. So one, for example, is emailhunter.com, which you can use for that. And then you've got the email, and all you have to do is reach out to them and ask them whether they want to test drive it, or you could offer them 2 months free in exchange for their feedback. Or
Sure. That's a good idea. Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah. So that would so what would be the purpose of that then? So if you get them on board in the hope that they blog for you about the product?
no, not necessarily. I'd use that as a at first I'd use it for customer development. I mean,
Right.
there's always the added benefit of them possibly blogging about it. If they love the product, I mean, they might blog about it, which doesn't hurt, apparently.
Yeah.
But first and foremost, it's about getting new customers.
Absolutely, yeah.
That's one easy way. Or you could do the whole LinkedIn prospecting or
Yeah.
search for relevant subreddits where you can post about it.
Yeah, I have a bit of a struggle with my market because they tend not to be online so much. It's a bit more of an offline type business, but that's changing, I think. There are more and more coming online. So I think so what I have been doing cold email, but not very sophisticated. So that's a good idea what you just suggested. So I'll probably look into that. One other thing is though, at the moment, so the website is really for me anyway, is really really simple, and they just have a single call to action, which is to book a demonstration. I find that if I get somebody to do a demonstration, then they're really interested in the software. So that's what I've been doing. What do you think is a good way of actually getting people that visit your website onto your list? I heard of like giving away an offer, an email course, something like that. Do you have an opinion on what a good way of doing that is?
I'm not a huge fan of those screen filling pop-ups,
right?
Or exit intent pop-ups.
Yeah, I've seen those. Yeah,
I prefer just having a simple sign-up form somewhere along the page and offering them a 5-day email course or something.
Yeah,
that has worked well for me for LinkSpy. I convert around like 50% of my trial signups actually go through my trip email campaign first. Right. So it's a great way to build trust with your audience.
Yeah.
It's giving away the email address isn't like a big obstacle to most people. So you get a decent conversion rate on the website for that, especially if you offer something additionally. So what I offer is in the first email, I send along a list of, I don't know, 20 plus websites where you can get a link from in 10 minutes or less.
Right, so that's really actionable.
Yeah, it's a great lead magnet, and it has high open click rates. I'd have to look it up right now, but I think I have open rates around 80% for that.
Wow, that's really good. So while you're talking about that sort of thing, open rates, what sorts of things should you measure for the success of an email? Would it be, I mean, obviously open rates, click-through rates are the things, I guess, that you'd be looking at. What sorts of numbers are typical in those?
I think for trip emails, these kind of lead nurturing emails, you should aim for your first email to be at least 60-65%.
Right.
I've seen campaigns where it was much less, but I think it's totally reasonable to get a 70-80% open rate.
Right.
You can achieve that. You just have to think about a really, really killer first email, something that makes them click and want that.
Yeah.
Want to open it.
Yeah.
And then afterwards it'll drop off a bit, but so even the last email in my 7-day email course gets a 45% open rate. So I think that's pretty good.
Yeah, it sounds good anyway. I've no experience with these things, but it sounds really good.
So I've seen a few campaigns where it was less than half of that.
Right.
So I'm pleased with it.
Yeah, I can imagine. So we need to get people to your website and then sign up for your drip course. That's the best way. Have you ever done anything with offers, like an ebook or something along those lines?
I do it now for my ebook, for the SaaS email marketing handbook. I offer them a draft of one of the chapters.
Okay.
Currently, and that works okay so far. I can't complain exactly. Although I think the conversion rate is a bit lower.
Right. Okay, that's interesting. And so once you've got people on your email list, you mentioned about all sorts of SaaS-related emails you can send. But are there general emails that you think people should send, like newsletters or general articles, that sort of thing?
I think if you want to convert people and make them successful in using your products, you should always send them some education email in one form or another. So people who sign up for LinkSpy, they get this initial 7-day trip campaign. But even afterwards, I have they get funneled into the next campaign automatically, where they will get a bunch of additional emails just right. with, and it's purely educational. I don't think I ever pitched them on anything afterwards.
So it's again, just building more trust.
Yeah, just building more trust, helping them be more successful, and just hoping the best. I mean, hope is not a strategy, I know, but it keeps them on my email list, so I can always send a random broadcast and try to advertise something.
Yeah, cool.
Keeps them happy.
Yeah, absolutely. And so if you're running a SaaS business and you're going to be sending emails related to the product, so I remember your talk at MicroConf this year. You did one of the attendee talks, didn't you? You were talking about the emails that people should send. Can you give us a bit of background around that?
You mean different emails that you could potentially send?
Yeah.
Okay. I think the email that most people wanted to talk to me after my talk was the signup abandonment emails. And that is a concept that I learned from Rob Walling and the Trip team.
Yeah.
And it's basically card abandonment emails, but for SaaS businesses.
Right.
So assume you have a two-step signup process. In the first step, you ask them for the email and the credit and their password. And then in the next step, you ask for their credit card details. What will happen is that on the second step, about 60% of people will just drop off. They are no longer interested because they don't want to give away their credit card details. They don't have their credit card with them right there, so they just close the tab. Or for whatever reason, they drop out of the funnel.
Yeah.
So you're losing 2/3 of people who were interested in signing up. But you already have got their email, so you can just hammer them with emails. Or you could, you could be so kind and remind them that they are totally missing out on the most awesome software on the planet and
sure.
They really wanted to sign up for it. You've got the email and you should just send them an email telling them that they tried to, that they were going to sign up for it, but they stopped right in the process. And maybe it was because you wanted the email, their credit card, but they didn't want to share it and give them a bunch of reasons why you want their credit card, and then just give them a link where they can continue signing up. And what this does is, I've done a small, really small survey, but from the people I talked to, well, they all said that it increased their trial conversion rate by roughly 15%. So it's an instant win. Mm-hmm. And building this feature in for your developer, or if you're a developer yourself, it'll probably take less than an hour.
That's really good. So I guess the first thing in that is splitting out, if you don't already do this, splitting out your sign up to be two-stage, so you get the email mm-hmm. up front, and then the difficult thing that might put the customer off comes second.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good one.
There's this kind of basic rule of conversion optimization that you should keep your forms as short as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so you shouldn't ask for the email address twice. You know, this like email and then confirm email, that usually decreases your conversion rate. And the same goes for password and then confirm password.
Yeah, they could always be forgotten password, can't they?
Yeah, exactly. So you should just get rid of those. And you don't want to put all the fields on one page because it just looks overwhelming often. And once... Now, when they enter for most people, it's easy to enter their email address and their password, and then they click next. And at this point, they have a bit of commitment to signing up, right? Because they've already started the process and they've put work into it. So there's a commitment to fill in the rest. Obviously, it isn't working for everyone. It's not even working for the majority because they still 60% drop out of the funnel when you ask them for the credit card email. Credit card details, but that's the idea behind it.
Cool, that's really good actually. Yeah, so for my process at the moment, I don't even have a registration process. I basically mm-hmm. need it's very hands on at the moment because I'm obviously still learning about customers, but
which is totally okay.
Yeah, sure, but this is something that I'm definitely going to put in for the future. Is the at least two steps, you know, rather than just getting it all up front.
Yeah, I'm not saying that it works for every software on the planet. It's just for the software I've seen, I feel like it's the best approach.
So yeah. And you could always, you know, if putting in the credit card details is the blocker, you could always let them in without doing that up front.
Yeah, and that's actually something Trip also does.
Right.
So a few weeks or so after you try to sign up, so first they will remind you, I think 2 hours later or so, to sign up with your credit card. And then if you don't do that, they will send you another email 2 weeks later or so where they just offer you to sign up without a credit card. So I thought that was a really, really nifty trick.
Yeah, that's really good. Yeah, yeah. Brilliant.
And another basic rule of email marketing is that if you send an email once, you should usually send it twice. So if someone doesn't react to your first email, so they don't open it, or they don't click on the link in it, or they don't convert in whatever way, whatever your target for that email is, you should just resend it to them.
Right. Yeah, that's a good idea.
It persistence pays off.
Yes, that sounds like Stelly.
Mm-hmm.
From his talk. Yeah, always follow up. So with when you're actually, you've got someone's email address then and you're sending them emails, there are some sort of silly little things, questions that pop up in my mind quite a bit. You know, is there a best day of the week to send an email? What time of day should you send emails? Does any of that really matter?
I think it matters, definitely, but it's all based on what your audience is.
Right.
Or who your audience is.
Sure.
I mean, for businesses, it's usually good bet to send the email during the week because you won't read it on the weekend. And if you send it on Saturday, it might get lost in all the other emails that come through over the weekend.
Yeah.
Possibly. So usually you don't want to send on the weekend for B2B businesses. But other than that, I think you should just experiment with your own mailing list.
Yeah.
It's often a good idea to send emails based on the subscriber's time zone.
Right, of course, yeah.
What I do, and I don't have any data for that, I just have a gut feeling about it, is that I send all my emails at 6 a.m. in the morning in the hopes that people will get into the office by 7:38. So it's at the top of their inbox when they get to work.
Sure, yeah, that's good. And and how often should you send emails? You know, I think people get fed up if you send too many, too little again means that they forget about you. Is there an optimum number of emails?
I think the rule of thumb here is that you should send more emails than you feel comfortable with.
Right.
I have a friend who sends between 20 and 30 emails a day.
Wow.
to his customers. And they are all like, something changed on the website. There's a new offering. You want to look at that. So that all this depends on your audience. Yeah. I think a minimum of once every every 2 weeks is good.
Right.
I think that's the absolute minimum that you should send. And that can be a newsletter. It's perfectly fine.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be something tailored to each specific user. Generally, we as developers or as marketers feel much more annoyed by getting emails than the average person in your target audience does.
Right.
So it's totally okay to send more emails than you feel comfortable with. And if you think about it a bit more, and if you take a step back, there are emails. I bet you that there are emails in your inbox that you keep that you look forward to getting. So for me, for example, when I get an email from Patrick McKenzie, I'm all over it in minutes because I love that guy and I know that he writes fantastic emails and they are always insightful and fun to read and it's long form.
Yeah.
And you know that it's always interesting to me and I really, really look forward to getting one of those.
Yeah,
and I bet the same happens for other people.
Yeah, yeah, I'm sure, yeah. And when you're sending emails, so should you send, or do you have opinion, whether you should send HTML emails, plain text emails, does that really matter?
I think especially for transactional emails, you should stick to something that looks like plain text.
Right.
I mean, it's still HTML because you can do the formatting like italics and bold font and stuff.
Yeah.
And links with anchor texts and stuff. But generally, I keep them as close to handwritten as possible because I want to give the impression that everything in my business comes directly from me and it's the founder who really writes to you and takes the time out of his day, which, to be honest, he totally doesn't because he's at his day job. most likely, or asleep, one of the two.
Yeah. And do you, so that sounds like then you prefer emails to come from a person rather than the business generically?
Yeah. There are probably instances where it's better to have a nice HTML markup. So for example, with a newsletter, a proper newsletter that you send regularly every 2 weeks or so, it might be better to have proper format because no one is expecting this email to be handcrafted for. So I think in these instances, it's totally okay to send in a proper email.
Yeah, great. And so for your, obviously email marketing is a key for you, but what other marketing channels do you use for your products?
I do use content marketing, actually.
Yeah.
I love to write. That's why I wanted to write a book, because just the experience, seemed interesting to me, and it is. I learned a ton already.
Yeah.
And content marketing is, I think, a great way. You can do it in, I think there are two different ways you can do content marketing. One is more SEO focused, where you find a good keyword that you want to rank for, and then you write content that is optimized for that topic or for that keyword.
Yeah.
And just post it on your website. And have some call to action at the end, or a small widget popping up in the lower right corner, like the one Trip provides you.
Yeah.
And the other one is actually writing really, really good content. So I've written a few mostly research-driven pieces to promote LinkSpy. For example, for one, I found a market where you could sell or buy links on your website or on other people's websites.
Oh, I did see this article, yeah.
Yeah. And it was just interesting for me because I wanted to know how much are people willing to pay, how much are they paying for a link? Mm. So I scraped the whole data from that marketplace and then did a bunch of stats on that. And I love doing this bit of statistics, bit of math. It's a bit of an engineering challenge just to scrape the data, etc. So that was really, really fun for me to do. And then writing that article was straightforward for me because you all have all the data and then you just talk about the data. And
So how long did it take to do that sort of thing then? Because you've got a lot of research involved as well as writing the article.
I guess 40 to 60 hours total.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's a huge time investment. No doubt about that. But it, like, if you do it the right way and then you properly promote it, you also get a ton of visitors from it.
Mm. So when you say properly promote it, what do you consider to be properly promoting that? Do you publish it elsewhere other than your website, or what do you do?
I think that you should, especially if you start out and you don't have many readers on your blog.
Mm.
You should put most of your content, or at least the good content, you should put that on another blog in your niche, because you want to get it in front of an audience, and there's next to no use in it being on your blog if you can't promote it well.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
And having it like the best piece of content on your own blog where only 29 people read it and half of them of your family. You're not going to get a lot of value from that, right?
That's so right, yeah.
It's kind of a waste effort. But the cool thing is, if you write a piece of content like that, you have to write a maximum of 2 outreach emails. Because if the first website doesn't take you up on that offering for a guest post, I bet you the second will.
Right.
I never had to send more than 2 emails. To be honest, it only recently happened that I had to write a second email to a different website because the first one didn't respond, which probably is okay because I tried to reach Neil Patel and
I guess
that guy is really busy.
Yeah.
The second website is totally okay with the content and they answered right away. We're more than happy to take it. So that's good.
Mm, brilliant. That's really good. And so, moving on a bit from that, you've obviously been doing this for a while now with the side projects and business. So it's obviously not been all plain sailing. So what have been some of your struggles or maybe some dark points that you've had throughout this that you thought, oh, I'm just going to stick with the day job or anything like that? Have you had any experience like that?
So sticking with the day job is really easy for me because I'm bound by a 15-year contract at the minimum. So I still have a few years to go.
Right.
And I might do it my whole life. I like being a officer in the army, so
sure.
That's totally an option right now. So that was easy for me. The dark point for me was Linkspy was mentioned at MicroConf Europe.
Yeah.
And there in 2014, I think it was October 2014. And then it got featured on Product Hunt, and that sent a ton of traffic. And my MRR skyrocketed. It really went really high. But getting on Product Hunt didn't bring in the right type of people, the right type of customers.
Right.
So they sticked around for a bit, but they churned out way faster than my normal signups. And so I had this high point where I was like, yeah, this is totally going to work and it's going to be so awesome and I'm going to make millions and whatnot.
Yeah. Right?
And now I'm on the hockey stick and turns out I wasn't. So seeing all these customers leave and then the MRR dropping off, and it fell like way lower than it is now. And I managed to scramble up a bit and keep it steady now. But that was really hard.
Yeah, I can imagine that's a difficult one. Yeah.
And I don't know how to get through that. I mean, if you get an influx of subscribers or signups that are not in your target demographic, but they still kind of stick around for a bit, and you don't have a product that is well rounded or like really good at its job because it's still in its infancy and you don't have much time to optimize it, and maybe you're not good at it at building the right tool really fast and knowing where you want to take it or where you're best going to take it. This is really hard. And I think the only option you have there is to talk to your customers or to the people who sign up and the people who leave. That's even more important. You should talk to people who cancel their subscription.
Right, yeah, yeah.
And this is another email that is so easy to automate. It's such an easy email. It's just... The subject line is just a quick question, dot, 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 and then you just say, hi, Chain. You just canceled your account an hour ago or so. Would you mind sharing with me why you canceled? Cheers, Christoph.
Right.
You can learn a ton from that.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that sounds like a good one. Yeah, I can imagine that's quite good. And you get a lot of information from that. Excellent. So in terms of, you've got your book that's out now. How far in advance do you plan? Have you got... something in the pipeline for the future, or are you focusing just on the book at the moment?
No, I'm actually, the book isn't even out. I haven't even publicly committed to a launch date.
Right.
Because, you know, the day job and the amount of work I have to do at the day job fluctuates a bit. So it's hard for me to commit to something 4 months, 5 months down the line.
Yeah.
So I'm currently doing pre-sales on the website at a steep discount, and I'm slowly working towards getting the book finished. Great. That's currently what I'm doing.
Yeah, so that's the plans for the future at the moment. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent. Great. Well, is there anything else you wanted to say around this? Anything else you think people would like to know?
No. You can hit me up on Twitter at IT Engelhardt or send me an email. My website is sasemailmarketing.net, and I'm happy to talk about these topics.
Brilliant. That's great. So I'll put those in the show notes as well so that people can find them easily. Thanks for your time. I appreciate having the busy day job as well as trying to write the book is very time consuming. So I appreciate you coming on.
Yeah. Thanks for having me, Martin.
No worries.
It's been a pleasure.
Cheers. So I'll see you at the next MicroConf Europe, I guess.
Definitely. I hope so.
Brilliant.
If the day job doesn't interfere.
Yeah. Excellent. Well, thanks very much, Christoph.
Take care.
Cheers. Bye-bye.